Grace and peace to you this morning. It is a good morning. I was just reminded, even before the singing, that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And it was a beautiful time worshiping you with this morning and just celebrating who God is in our lives. I'm excited for today as we jump into Ephesians. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 5 if you want to turn there. We'll be talking about the roles of husbands. And as we get there, I was reminded growing up, I played a lot of different competitive sports. I played some soccer and I played basketball. I played a lot of football and I played did some track and field. And as I was thinking about those different sports, I was realizing how everybody on those teams has a role to play. Everybody's got something to do, but not everybody does every part. For example, if you're playing soccer, the role of the goalie is usually not to be intent on scoring goals for their team. It can happen, but if that's what they try and do, he's going to leave the net open. But the role of the goalie is to keep the other team from scoring goals, right? He's got a role to play. You have forwards and strikers and other people that worry about scoring goals. In track and field, everybody has a different race to race or a different jump to jump. I was a high jump and triple jump guy. And then one day my coach said, hey, we need someone to run the 800. Worst race ever. I'm a jumper. I'm not a runner. So it's like two laps of sprint. But everybody does their part. And if everyone plays their role, the team gets points. And at the end, the team beats the other team because we've all done our part to win and accomplish that. In the same way, God has designed marriage with different roles. He's designed a role for women, and he's designed a role for men and for wives and husbands. Last week, we went over what the role is for the wife, and that is to be a submissive wife. And some of you were here for that. Maybe you weren't here. And it's a hard role sometimes to swallow. And ladies, you might not look at that as something you want to do, but it's the role that God has designed for wives. And it's not because you're inferior. It's not because you're less than. It's not because you can't perform certain standards. It's just the role that God has designed for you. Today, we're going to talk about the husband. And the role that God has given the husband in the marriage relationship is to love his wife. And that's a huge charge. That's a big charge for God to give the husbands, and we're going to talk about what that is because it's bigger than just a normal love. And so as we do that, even as husbands and wives, as we live up to the roles that God has given us in our marriages, it's going to come at a cost, right? Wives, like, submitting to your husbands comes at a cost sometimes because sometimes it's like, I don't know, Lord, are you sure you want me to come? I will do it, God, because you've called me to do that. And sometimes, rarely, husbands, would it be difficult for you to love your wives. I'm sure mostly it's pretty easy, but there are times where it costs us to love. So sometimes doing our roles will come at a great cost, but the rewards from those roles are even better. And so that's kind of our bottom line for today is this, that love comes at a great cost, but the rewards are greater. Amen. And I pray that you, as we look at this passage and look at the roles of husbands and wives, that you would find great joy and see God bring blessings into your family, into your marriage, as we live out these roles. As we get started this morning, we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 5, and if you would stand with me as we read from God's Word. We're going to start in verse 25, and we're going to go down to verse 33, and this is God's word for this morning. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for the challenges that it brings. I thank you that there are roles that you've designed for us to do. And in doing these roles, in submitting and loving, God, it brings you great glory and it brings blessings upon us as well. And so, Lord, move in this place this morning. Move in our hearts and our minds. Help us to hear the words you want us to hear. Lay on our hearts the challenges that we need to take up in order to fulfill our roles. Lord, in all things, would you be honored and glorified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat, church. Some good verses, and sometimes these are verses that people maybe would like to black out or cut out of their Bible or not talk about as much. Men were like, oh yeah, we've got no problem with this. And women, you have the wives submit, and it's like, those three verses can go away. But Paul is giving us God's idea for what marriage is, what he designed marriage to be. And I want you to see that even in the things that Paul writes about are very countercultural to what was going on in his day. Because we look at it now and go, yeah, well, the role for women, that was back then, but this is now, so we don't need to do that anymore, which is not true. Even the role that Paul gave for wives was a little bit countercultural. But when Paul talks about the husbands loving your wife as Christ loved the church, that goes completely against what society was doing at the time. And it's God's standard. And so even as I studied about this and read about it in Rome historically, when people got married, rarely was it for love. In marriage in Rome, what did love have to do with it? Nothing. It was about getting financial gain. It was about getting more status than you had before. It was about improving your life. Love had nothing to do with it. And so because love didn't really have anything to do with it, husbands were often promiscuous and out and committing adultery and sleeping with other women. And they were not punished for that. That was okay. Wives, if you did that, they were more punished by the law. There was laws against women doing that, which was just the way that society worked. But when Paul comes in and says, husbands, love your wives, it's a shock. Like, wait a minute. What do you mean, love my wives? We just got married for this. And Paul says, no, that's not what marriage is about. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And so as we dive into this today, even some of this is going to push us past what society says the role of the husband is. Good. Because it's not about what society or culture says what marriage is. It's about what God says what marriage is. Amen? And so let's look at this a little bit and see what God says for us. And here's the first thing that I want you to see. That as we love our wives, husbands, we love sacrificially. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That he gave himself up for her. One of the things that's interesting is you compare the role of husbands and wives. When Paul writes, wives, submit to your husbands, he's putting it in a tense that says, wives, you should choose to do this. You should put yourself in a place of submission to your husband. But when Paul comes to the husbands, he's not saying, husbands, you should choose to love your wives. Paul is giving a command. Wives, this is what you should do. Husbands, you must love your wives as Christ loved the church. It's a command that we have for us. It isn't something that's optional. And it's not just a command, it's a command to love sacrificially. To love by giving up yourself, by sacrificing your agenda. Love by seeking not your interests, but the interests of your spouse first. That's the kind of love the husband is supposed to have for the wife. And it comes as no surprise when Jesus was in there having the Last Supper with his disciples. And before the night he's having that, and he's about to go to the cross, he's teaching them, and he teaches them this in John 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than what? That someone lay down his life for his friend. And so what Paul is asking us to do is the very same thing that Jesus called us to do as Christians. Husbands, I'm not just calling you to love other Christians by laying down your life for them. I'm calling you to love your wife this way. How did Christ love the church? He gave himself up for her. He sacrificed himself. He even left heaven to come down to earth to redeem us and to save God's people. Husbands, if we're going to love our wives, we're going to love our wives sacrificially. We're going to give up what we want for the betterment of her. Likewise, when Jesus, even when you think about being a Christian, when Jesus called people to follow him, do you remember what he said? Luke 9:23. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, sacrifice himself and his desires, and take up his cross and follow me. So the call for husbands to love your wives as Christ loved the church is a call to sacrifice. But that's kind of the call of being a Christian already. More so, husbands, especially for your wives, is to love them sacrificially. And I would say this, when we talk about Jesus sacrificing himself, he didn't just go to the cross for the cross sake. Jesus sacrificially loved us on purpose and for purpose. He did it to redeem us. He did it to save us. He did it to wash us, as this text says, that he sanctifies the church. He washes the church with the word so that he might present the church spotless and blameless and holy before the Lord. And so he died on purpose, and he died to bring us back into God's family. And so, husbands, when we love our wives sacrificially, we love sacrificially on purpose. And I love Timothy Keller, who was a pastor, writes this: the cross is not simply a lovely example of sacrificial love. Throwing your life away needlessly is not admirable. It is wrong. Jesus' death was only a good example if it was more than an example, if it was something absolutely necessary to rescue us. And it was. Why did Jesus have to die in order to forgive us? There was a debt to be paid, and God himself paid it. There was a penalty to be borne, and God himself bore it. Forgiveness is always a form of costly suffering. And so, if Jesus died on purpose, if he sacrificed his life on purpose, not just as an example, husbands, we love our wives sacrificially on purpose. We don't give sacrificial love to our wives because the Bible says so. There's a bigger cause than that. Jesus is doing it for the benefit of the church, sanctifying, making it holy, presenting it without spot and blemish. And so, husbands, if we're going to love our wives sacrificially, let us do it on purpose like Jesus sacrificed his life on purpose. Amen? It's not nilly-willy. It's not just like, I'll do this because God said so. No, you do it for the benefit of your wife and your spouse, that she may grow up into the person that God has created her to be and is transforming her to be. That's the role of husbands in loving. And specifically, Paul gives a couple more examples, and we're going to look at this. The first one I'd say is this: that we should love nurturally. It's a word now because I put it in my dictionary. There was a red line under it before, but I've made it a word now. Because Paul talks about that sometimes it might not be naturally for us to love this way, but we do. But we love to nurture our wives. Husbands, you know how to take care of your own bodies. Some of you. Some of us. Some of us might not be as good at it as others. But when we're hungry, we eat. When we're thirsty, we drink. When we get tired from 3 seconds of exercise, we sit down and watch TV some more. We listen to our bodies. We know what it is, and we know how to take care of ourselves when there's needs. We nurture ourselves. And Paul is saying, just as Jesus sacrificially loved the church, he nurtures the church through love. And so, husbands, love your wives with nurture. Full of nurture. And that's what Jesus does for us. And I want you to see, like, before we go further, understand this. When it says Jesus loves us by sanctifying the church, by washing her with the word, by taking out all the spots and blemishes so he can present her without wrinkle, that's Jesus' job. Just so you understand, husbands, before we go further, you are not your wife's savior. Amen? Jesus is the savior of your wife. Jesus is going to be the one that cleanses and washes and presents your wife without wrinkle or spot or blemish back to the Father. That is his role. That's what God does. Our role as husbands in loving our wife is to nurture that process along so that God can do the work. When Paul was, he wrote a letter to a church in Corinth. And as he's writing to them, he's dealing with different things that are going on in the congregation. And at one point, something was happening where people must have been arguing like, well, I'm a better Christian because Paul did this. Well, I'm a better Christian because Apollo did this. Well, I'm better because this person. And they're arguing about who did what for them that makes them better than the other people. And Paul says this: I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Husbands, how is your wife going to grow? God gives the growth. But in loving your wife, are you coming alongside to nurture that process? Are you doing everything that you can to make sure that she grows in that? And then I think Paul kind of flips the script that not only do we love our wives and sacrifice, he says, if you want to love yourselves, love your wife. And that sounds so backwards, doesn't it? No, if I want to love myself, I focus on myself, right? And Paul says, no. Husbands, if you want to love yourselves, love your wife. That's what you need to do. And so when I was thinking about nurturing, I was just thinking about gardens and plants and just the tenderness of that. We have several plants in our backyard, and it's great, and it's beautiful, all these tropical things. We have several varieties in different spots, and some are thriving and doing great, and some are just like, why aren't you growing like this one? And it gets frustrating, but I don't go out there and yell at the plant. I can't cause that plant to grow. I don't abandon that plant. I don't criticize that plant. What I do is I do some research and I make sure the plant's getting water. I make sure that the plant is getting enough sun. I make sure I find some fertilizer to make the soil better so that plant can grow. I'm doing everything I can to nurture that plant to grow like the other one is. But I can't cause that plant to grow. All I can do is make sure I create an environment where it can grow. Amen? I nurture that plant along. I'm tender with it. And I'm doing everything I can. God will cause the growth. Husbands, in the same way, are we doing everything that we can to nurture our wives, to give them what they need to thrive in the relationship with God and thrive in the marriage relationship and thrive as a mother and thrive as a friend and thrive as a Christian? That's what it means to love your wife as Christ loved the church, to come alongside her and nurture her and to help her grow. And again, we look to Jesus as our example, as he's all through this text. If we love like Jesus loved, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says this, "Come to all me who labor and are heavy laden, and I will throw more burdens on you." It's not what he says. Yeah, some of you are like, I don't remember that verse, Pastor. Yeah, it's not what it says. It says this, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." It can't get more gentle and nurturing than that. The kind of love that Jesus offers us is to come and lay your burdens down. Find rest for your souls. He's gentle, and he loves us, and he feeds us, and he takes care of us. In the same way, husbands, are you living and loving your wife in such a way that you're nurturing her to grow? That's the role that God has for you. And sometimes to do that, it'll be a sacrifice of the things that you want to ensure that she has what she needs. Third thing is this, love cherishfully. And Paul says, when he talks about husbands loving their own bodies, that we know how to nourish and cherish our body. Cherish is to hold dear, to value, to prize, to admire, to adore, to treasure. Aside from God, husbands, your second greatest treasure is not yourself, it is your wife. And do you prize her that way? Do you value her that way? Do you treasure her that way? I think probably one of the best examples I can think of for this, and you'll have to forgive me, is the Lord of the Rings. And there was a ring, and that's the wife. And there was Gollum, and that's the husband. And it's kind of creepy, I know, but Gollum would do everything. He loved that ring. He sang with that ring. He danced with that ring. He polished that ring. He did everything he could. It was his most valuable possession. He would murder for the ring, and we shouldn't do that. But apart from that, he would do everything for that ring. He treasured, he cherished that ring. Husbands, are you treasuring your wife that way? Are you singing over her? Are you dancing with her? Are you valuing her? Is she your the greatest thing that God has given to you? I know your kids are in there too, and your kids are probably great half of the time. But your wife is to be cherished. If we know how to take care of our own bodies and nourish it and cherish it, and to love our wives is to love ourselves, then we need to nourish and nurture and cherish our wives and value them. I love when you read Proverbs 31, starting with verse 10, the rest of the chapter, it's talking about the exemplary wife and woman. And it starts out this way: an excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. She's a treasure. Husbands, your wife is a treasure. She is. She's the biggest diamond that's ever been found on earth. She's the biggest lump of gold that's ever been found. Whatever you think is a treasure, your wife should be seen as greater than that. And are we loving our wives that way? Are we cherishing our wives more than anything else? More than time with our buddies? More than getting ahead in our job? And none of those things are bad, but is our wife being cherished by us? That's the call of husbands, to love sacrificially, to love nurturally, and to love cherishfully. To give you another perspective, that verb to cherish is used one other time in the New Testament. And Paul is describing the work ministry he had with the church in Thessalonica. And this is what he says: we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. The idea of taking care of is the same verb as cherish. And it's not that your wives are little babies that can't do anything on their own. That's not what's being implied. But with the gentleness and the treasure that a nursing mother has with her infant, so husbands, you should feel that way about your wives. Are they our most prized possessions? One of the ways that in the definition of the Greek term for cherish talks about this, that it is to comfort, to warm, or to soften. Are we making our wives feel warm-hearted? Are they like bundled up in a blanket because of the way that we cherish them? That's how we should be loving them. And so how can we do this? Let me give you some simple ways. Value your wife above everything else but God. Don't compare your wife to others. Don't treat her as though she's a burden to you. Tell your wife that you love her often and tell her why. I love you is good, but I love you because of this and this and this. Treasures your wife. Tell her all the ways you appreciate her and the things you see her doing. Instead of criticizing her or finding fault in her, use words to encourage her and build her up. And tell her of the ways that she has been a blessing to you and has made an impact in your life. That's how we can value our wives and cherish our wives. At the end of the day, as we talk about loving our wives, it's about loving them sacrificially. Amen? It's about loving them full of nurture and doing whatever we can to make sure they have what they need to grow in the Lord. And it's about cherishing them above all other people, that God has given you this great treasure in your wife. That's the love that we're supposed to have. And even though, husbands, I gave you a list a second ago of things you can do, here's my challenge for you this week. Every day, pray for your wife this week. Before you, if you get on your social media or play games on your phone or whatever you do, before you answer your emails, sit down and pray for your wife. And don't pray, Lord, make my wife submit. That's not the prayer. That's not nurturing. The prayer is, Lord, bless my wife this week. Help me to see ways that I can come alongside and nurture her to grow. Thank you for the gift that she is. So every day this week, at least once a day, husbands, pray for your wives. Thinking about that, talk about your wife with what you're reading in the Word. Share with one another how God is using His Word. As Jesus cleanses the church with His Word and the washing of the Word, we've got to be, and if our marriages are going to thrive, we've got to be in the Word. And so husbands and wives, talk about what you've been reading and encourage one another in that. Or maybe do a devotion together, and so you can talk together. But make God's word the center of your things. Don't just pray for your wife, pray with your wife. That's how you can love your wife and value your wife. Maybe do a study reading over these verses that we've done these last 2 weeks, or maybe even going to Proverbs 31 and reading 10 on and reading what exemplary wife and incredible woman is, and talk about those things and how you see your wife in that and how you can help her grow into those things. Center your marriage around God's word and prayer and make him the center of things. Ultimately, the challenge I would give husbands and wives is this. For the rest of the month of May, focus on doing what God has called you to do and see how it blesses your marriage. A pastor submitting, I know, but just come before God and let him do it. You want me to love my wife? Yeah, I don't want you to. I mean, I do want you to love your wife, but God calls you to love your wife sacrificially with all nurture and cherishing her above all others. And that's what it means, husbands, to love your wives. And as we're kind of wrap this up, I want to just hit on two things that are like big picture items that we need to see because Paul kind of throws something at us at the end here that totally might change our perspective on marriage. And the first thing is this, that your marriage is not about you. It's not about you. It's not about your happiness. It's not about what you can get out of it. It's not about any of those things. Paul says, the mystery is this. I'm talking about Christ and the church. So your marriage is you and your wife, but it's take a step back, and it's much bigger than that. Because he says, from the beginning, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. That's God's design for marriage in the beginning, because his design for marriage was meant to mirror his love for the church. And so our marriages are not just about us being together and being happy and wives submitting and husbands doing the role of loving, and those things are all good. But the bigger picture is, that's a picture of how God loves his people. And so what is your marriage saying to other people about how God loves his people in the church? Does God talk glowingly about his spouse? Or does God talk negatively when they're not around? Does God love his church sacrificially? Husbands, are you loving your wife sacrificially? Is happiness good in your marriage? Yes. And does God want you to be happy in your marriage? Yes. But the bigger picture about marriage is it's not just about these two people. It's the picture of God's love for the church. And so our call as husbands and wives is not just to do this to one another. It's to reflect God to the world. And church, we've got to stand up to that role. More than ever, people need to see the way God loves his church through proper marriages. And that's our responsibility to do that. Second thing I want you to see, and I'll wrap up with this, is in this passage you see the beauty of the gospel. Especially you have in the wives submit to your husbands as the church submits to Christ. And as Christ is the head of the church, you see Christ's role in that. But husbands, love your wives sacrificially. And Jesus just painted throughout all these verses, the gospel is about the fact that God loves you more than you can know. Amen. And so when we come to marriages, and I wrap up with this, and the band can come on up, God has an invitation for you to come and be a part of his family. When we talk about, sacrificial love, God has demonstrated that sacrificial love already on the cross. He's shown his love for you. He gave up his life. Second, talk about Jesus, and I love this, like, when we come into this relationship with Christ, we go back to this idea of nurture. Husbands, nurture your wives, and the nurture we receive from God, and we see that in the Matthew passage. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy burden and weighed down, and I will give you rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. And so Jesus gives us this invitation to come to him, not get our lives together and come to him, not stop sinning less and come to him, not get straight A's and gold stars next to our name so that we can come to him. Come to him with your mess and come to him with your problems, because he loves you sacrificially. He cherishes you and he wants to nurture you to be the person that he's created you to be. And he creates this environment of gentleness and grace and mercy and love. And the gospel is there in the marriage role of the husband and what we're supposed to do for a wife, Christ is doing for his church already. And so if you're sitting here and you're not sure about, you know, what is this whole Christian thing and should I be a part of Christ and should I make him my Savior, I couldn't encourage you more to move in that direction. Because you will come into a place of a God who loves you and cherishes you, who has invited you to be a part of this crazy family of his, and a lot of them are here in this room, and part of it is me. And you're going to find problems, you're going to find different things, but you're going to find rest, and you're going to find love, and you're going to find mercy and hope and joy in him. You're going to find a God that's going to create an environment for you to thrive and grow. And so this morning, as we wrap this up, talking about husbands and wives, I want to wrap up with this. God invites you to be a part of his family. God invites you to come and let him take your burdens off. God invites you to come and be nurtured and cherished. And so I invite you to do that this morning. We're going to take communion, and after that, we'll have some time of worship, and we'll have elders in the back to pray with you. If you want to make a decision for Christ, if you have prayers for Christ, I want you to talk to these elders. Elders, if it gets too noisy in here, if you're over on this side, you can go into my office. You can go out into the foyer on the patio. You can even go into the kitchen. If you're cold, the kitchen's a nice spot to go. But don't leave this place without making Christ your Savior. It's the best place for you to be. Better than any way a husband can love their wives is the way that Jesus loves us already. And so I invite you to be a part of that. Let me close in prayer, and then I'll say a couple words about communion. Lord, I thank you for the charge you've given us as husbands to love our wives as Christ has loved the church. Lord, you laid down your life for us. Lord, you invite us into a place of nurture. You create an environment for us to grow and to thrive. Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life. And God, you've shown us that. You've shown our love for us. And so, Lord, even as we think of those charges as husbands, help us to love our wives that way. But at the same time, God, individually help us to say, man, I want more of Jesus in my life because I need more of that environment that he provides. And so, God, we come to you and we thank you for your love for us. Help us to show that love to our spouses and to the world of how great you are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.